Very good to see everyone here to another Zoom Gospel meeting. And I trust that the preaching of the Gospel will be an encouragement to the believer and that it might be a great help in showing a sinner the way of salvation. First of all, I'd like you to turn to John's Gospel in chapter 4. John's Gospel and chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4, is a very well-known story of a woman of Samaria who met the Lord Jesus at the well, Jacob's well. We're just going to read two verses. We'll read verses 14 and 15. It is the Lord Jesus that's speaking. In verse 14, he says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Now we'll turn over to Revelation chapter 21 to begin with. Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to read verse number 6. Revelation 21 and verse 6, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Now over to the next chapter. It's the last chapter of our Bible. And we'll read the verse number 1, which is really the verse that's upon my heart for this message this evening. Revelation 21, Revelation 22 and verse number 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Verse number 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face." Now just down to verse number 14. It's verse number 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Now we trust that God will bless the reading of his word to us. What we're wanting to do is to have a look at this river. And you would notice that this river, it's flowing from the throne of God. And we want to see this river as we bring to you the message of the gospel. We want to see this river as a picture, as an illustration of God's great salvation. And I would that this afternoon, as we describe this river, that you might come with me, as it were, and stand upon the banks of this river of the water of life, and that you might see the mighty flow of God's love and God's provision for your soul. And I would that this afternoon you might simply stoop and drink, that you might take in the provision that God has made in his Son, that you might know the joy and peace of sins forgiven and the assurance of a home in heaven for all eternity. So we want to see this river just as a picture to us of God's salvation, that message of salvation for your soul. First of all, What I'd like us to see is the origin of this river. You'll notice that we read there in Revelation 22 in verse number 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." This is a river that proceeds from the throne of God. And you know, when it comes to God's salvation, it's a message that comes from God himself. It's a message that originates in the heart of God. No doubt you've heard before that wondrous verse of John 3 and 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I want you to understand, dear friend, that God's love is upon you, that you yourself, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter the circumstances of your life, you're the object of the love of God, and he has provided for you salvation from the penalty of sin. And we see this picture of a river. It's a picture to us of God's salvation, God's provision for your soul, and it flows from the throne of God. No doubt when you think of a throne, you think of a king, one that has the authority, one that has the power, one that has the ability, one that has the resources to work. And dear friend, I want you to understand that God himself, he has the power to save. He has the ability to bring salvation to you just where you sit in your home this afternoon. And he has the authority and the desire, the deep love of the Lord to bring salvation to your soul. You would notice too that not only does it speak about the throne of God, but then it says, and of the Lamb. And you know, the Lamb is central to the message of the gospel. The Lamb is central to God's way of salvation. If you miss the Lamb, you miss salvation. If you miss the Lamb of God, then you miss heaven for eternity. And no doubt you would understand that the Lamb of old, it tells us of the necessity of a sacrifice. God says in his word that the wages of sin is death. God says in his word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that without shedding of blood, there's no remission. I want you to understand that there is one who is the Lamb of God, and upon Calvary's cross, he died that you might forever go free. As I was thinking upon the Lamb, I thought about Isaac. As a young man, he was going up the mountain, the land of Moriah, with his father. Now, Isaac, he had some understanding of the ways of God, and he had some appreciation of the forgiveness that God offers and the sacrifices that God required. He understood it. And as he went up this mountain, the land of Moriah, with his father, he looked around and he saw the fire and he saw the wood. And he asked that question, "Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb?" He was told of his father that day, God will provide himself the Lamb for a burnt offering. And maybe you have heard the story before of how that Isaac was taken from off the altar and a lamb died in his stead. You know, that scene in Genesis 22 is a vivid picture to us of Calvary. It's a place of the fire and it's a place of the Lamb. You know, when it comes to eternity, there's a place where there's fire and there is no Lamb. And then there's a place where there is a Lamb and there is no fire. Now, what took place at Calvary when the fire consumed the Lamb and the Lord Jesus died in our stead upon Calvary's cross and endured the righteous judgment of God on account of our sin? What happens there and your response to it determines where you will be for all eternity. You know, Isaac, he asked that question, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? We come to the New Testament and we hear the words of John the Baptist, and he gives such a beautiful answer to that question of old as he looks upon the Lord Jesus, as he sees him in all his majesty and all his beauty and all his perfections. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, if that verse was scenery, there would be in that verse two mountain peaks, two peaks that stand out above everything else. There is that statement, the sin of the world. It's a statement that tells us of man's greatest problem. We can think of this world in which we live, and there's many that would tell you that this world's greatest problem is concerning a pandemic that has swept the world. But there's a problem far greater than that. For it's not only swept the world, but it's swept generations of mankind, the sin of the world, man's greatest problem. But the wondrous statement of John the Baptist, it tells us not only about the sin of the world, but it tells us about the Lamb of God. You know, if the sin of the world is this world's greatest problem, then I want you to focus upon that one who is the Lamb of God. He's not God's greatest answer, but dear friend, he's God's only answer to man's greatest problem. And so we can see from this, the origin of this river, it comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It comes through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to think of this river. And as we speak of this river, remember it's a picture to us of God's salvation flowing from the throne of God down to mankind. And I would that tonight you would come with me and stand there upon the banks of this river. And maybe tonight you might stoop and drink of the water of life freely. First of all, concerning this river, I want you to notice this, that it is the river of the water of life. The message of God's salvation is a message concerning eternal life. It's a message concerning that which God offers to you, the forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven for eternity. It's a message of life. That is, it's a message of that which is unending. It's unending. Secondly, I'd like you to notice this, and we'll read again those words. And he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Not only is it the water of life, water, it's that which satisfies. Not only is it unending, but it's unfailing. The message of the gospel, the message of God's salvation, it's that which will satisfy your soul. And maybe up until now in this life, you've stooped and you've drunk the stagnant pools of sin. Or maybe you've tried those broken systems, the systems of men. Oh, dear friend, all that you might see, that there's life at the river. There is salvation available to you. We read concerning this woman of Samaria, and she came to that point in her life when she heard the description of that which the Lord offered to her, that water which would spring up in her into everlasting life. She came to that point where she wanted it and she desired for it, and she knew that this was something that would satisfy her soul. And she came to this point where she simply said, give me to drink. Are you there tonight? Have you come to realize the emptiness of this world? Have you come to realize the disaster which sin has wrecked in your life? Why not come with me to the river of the water of life and stoop and take in the message of salvation for your soul, its life, that is its eternal, its water, it's that which satisfies. You know, for the believer, there's times when we get discouraged in life. There's times when we might even grow cold in heart. And sometimes believers would backslide in heart. But I want you to understand this, that God's salvation, it satisfies fully. And I've never met a believer that's come to that point where they've said, you know, I wish I were never saved. I wish I'd never got to that point where I stooped and drinked of the water of life. Never. You see, God's salvation, it satisfies like water. Thirdly, I want us to see that this is a river. That tells me of its abundance. Not only is it unending and unfailing, but it's unlimited. There's an abundance in the provision of God for your soul. And maybe tonight you've wondered, is God's salvation really for me? Haven't I strayed so far that now I'm beyond the reach of even God's salvation? Dear friend, you're not. There's an abundance in the work of Christ. It's unfailing and it's unlimited. I want you to picture it like this. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, perfect, eternal, infinite. And he's offered himself. An infinite person makes a sacrifice of himself, and thereby he makes an infinite provision for the guilty. Oh, understand this, that you're not outside of God's love, and you're not outside of God's provision of salvation for your soul. What do we read here concerning this river? It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. It's a pure river. There's no additives. There's no work that you can do that would merit favor with God. There's no work that you can accomplish that will in any way add to the provision that God has made in his Son. This river that flows, this salvation that comes from God, it's pure. And dear friend, I want you to understand this, that if there's even the smallest minute part of your salvation that is depending upon a work that you are doing, then you're not saved. You need to rely fully and completely and wholly upon the work of Christ at Calvary. Listen to the wondrous message of the gospel. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. There's nothing of you. There's nothing that you have accomplished that can merit favor with God. The Apostle Paul would remind the Ephesian believers, by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's pure, perfect, complete. That's the salvation that God offers to you, something which you don't need to and cannot add to. So we've thought concerning God's salvation and the picture of this river, that it's life, it's eternal life that God offers to you. We've thought that it's water, it's that which satisfies, it's that which is suitable for your soul's salvation. We've thought of the fact that it's a river and its abundance, it's unlimited. And we've thought of the fact that it's pure, it's uncontaminated. And finally, concerning the description of this river, we read there that it's clear as crystal. It's clear as crystal. It's not a message that is hard to understand. It's not a message that's confusing. It's not a message that is cloudy and hard to distinguish, but it's clear as crystal. It's simple. It's clear. It's plain. You know, last week, when we heard the message from our brother John, I really loved that message. And he intertwined into the message that he gave in the gospel, the inquiries of a man called Leo. This man was obviously a man of great intellect, and he was inquiring from an intellectual point of view. They were honest inquiries concerning God and his salvation. And I thought that it was masterful the way our brother would use scripture to answer those inquiring minds of an intellect. Dear friend, God's salvation, it stands the scrutiny of men. But I think it's just as wonderful to see that this message of salvation, even a young child can understand. It's simple, it's clear, it's plain. And as a young boy of 10 years old, I came to understand my guilt as a sinner. And just as a young boy, I took in the truth that Christ died for my sins at Calvary. Dear friend, it's clear as crystal, the message of God's salvation for your soul. Will you not stoop? Will you not stand with me this afternoon upon the banks of this river and see the mighty provision that God has made for your soul? And see the abundance of eternal life that God offers to you. Will you not stoop and drink tonight at the water, the river of the water of life freely? You know, at the end of this chapter, we read concerning those invitations going forth. He that heareth, come. You've heard? Has God spoken to you this afternoon? Has this picture of a river been impressed upon your heart? Have you been brought to that point where you realize that you need God's salvation above everything else in your life? You've heard the message, he that heareth, come. He that is needy, he that is athirst, come. You know, it's grand to see so many logged on this afternoon to hear the message of the gospel. And no doubt we would love to see twice as many people logged on hearing the message of the gospel. But do you know what I want just this afternoon, just at this moment? I want but one person that's thirsty to be listening. I wonder this afternoon, are you that person? He that is a thirsty, come, stoop and drink at the water of life. And then we have that grand word, whosoever will come, will you not come and take freely the water of life? Will you not take up God's offer of mercy? Will you not drink at this life-giving stream? We live in a country of agriculture, and we have many sheep and cattle and dairy cows, and the farmers, they would drench them. And the animals, that they don't like the drench. And so the farmer would have a long tube and put it right down the throat and squeeze the gun, and it had no choice. You know, God's salvation, it's not a drench, but you must drink. Whosoever will may come. Why not come tonight? The work is done. The cost to you is none. The invitation is come. Come. And stoop tonight at this mighty river that flows from the throne of God. You can see the river of God's salvation. You can see the reservoir of God's throne and God's love for your soul. Will you not tonight simply stoop and drink and take in the message of God's salvation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God gives us assurance, thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray?